Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about the subject of education, probably more than anything else. We're going to talk a little bit about education in the Kingdom, and of course, the core of the Kingdom is family, so that's really where education begins, and it really is where the foundation of education should be. And not just for the young students, the young children that we are producing within the family, which is where society is born, but for the parents themselves. Educating your children at home is an opportunity to revisit all the things that you did wrong when you were growing up and being educated. Most people were educated outside of the home. Today, 100 years ago, most people were educated inside the home. They were not educated in public education. Public education is an experiment. And I've already done one show on this. And I was following an article that I wrote years ago that turned into a pamphlet that I have revisited, and because of some of the commotion going on in the country today because of things like Common Core. And everybody's all worked up with Common Core's dumbing down our children with experimental educational systems is the cry that you're hearing. The reality is our children have already been dumbed down, and before they were dumbed down, we were dumbed down by an experimental educational system called public education. And public education is an institutional system of educating children, and it has already changed the way you think. And so now you're from a leaky lifeboat arguing about, you know, another leak in the lifeboat. The reality is you shouldn't be in that lifeboat at all. You shouldn't be in public education at all. If you get out of public education, Common Core goes away. And it probably won't go away otherwise. Oh, they'll roll things back, but it's kind of like, I remember when I was a young kid, they came out with some outlandish new attire for women that was very risque, and I think it was the topless, dresses and stuff like this. And, you know, everybody was outraged, and then they rolled that back and you weren't going to see that again. But the reality is they do that shock value on purpose. And then when they roll it back, they just don't roll it back as far as you wanted them to. It's still lowered the state of morality in society. And they do it with the media all the time, in movies and TV. I mean, today there are commercials on TV seen at prime time on Saturday mornings that you could not show on TV when I was growing up. It would not have been allowed, and now it's seen all the time. This alters the thinking of your children, alters the thinking of society. So Common Core is just a part of the scheme. Whether it succeeds or not doesn't really matter. Things will change. The message I was trying to give more probably than anything else in the last show on this subject, which eventually we'll offer in series. I'm going to be publishing some articles on News with Views. And it's the fact that our view of education, our view of history, our view of what a child should know by the age of 5, 10, 15 years old has changed. And I gave the example of the 1912 eighth grade examination they discovered in Bullitt County, Kentucky, which you can go and Google and you can see the actual test and see if you can pass it. But it was an eighth grade test at the time. And most high school students couldn't pass it today. So there's, and that should send, you know, as I said, you know, shockwaves throughout the educational system. And, of course, people have whined about it, but it's just another news story. They whine about it, they cry about it, they complain about it, and then they go back to the same old, same old. There's no real change. The only way to change is to change fundamentally your approach to education. And that, of course, means educating at home. Now, how do you do that? We started educating our kids at home years ago. You know, I have kids that I have grandkids now. So there's a lot we learned in that process. A lot we learned about ourselves, about our children, and we weren't perfect at it. But the key element in home education is the fact that you dedicate your time, your energy, your life to being a parent in your child's life, to be a part of his educational system. Yeah, you will teach him a slant in the education that you present to him. But who should be slanting the thinking of your children more than you? They're your children. They were born out of you. This is your responsibility. I recently heard a story about an Irish woman who had been homeschooling her kids, and she did not apply for permission to homeschool her children. Now, she's already got kids raised. She actually took care of foster kids. Everybody admits she's an excellent mom, an excellent teacher, teaches real moral values, has produced great fruit in her efforts, but they're sending her to jail because she will not apply for permission to do that which she believes is a fundamental right. And this is going on in Ireland right now. They're putting her in jail for doing a good job. Meanwhile, they had seen children being dropped off at school by drug addicted parents, alcoholic parents who do a terrible job at home. And nothing's happening to them. They know that these parents are horrible. And they're not pursuing them. No, instead they're pursuing the individual who has actually taken the time to educate their children, do a good job, raise children who are not drug addicted, who are not immoral, who are hardworking, industrious members of society. But they are going to punish her because she did not ask permission to do what she believed was a fundamental right. And we've shown in other shows that even, International Convention on Human Rights say that the choice of education and the manner of education is a fundamental right of the parent. But there is another school of thought that has come out of public education that thinks, no, it's not. And we've seen where homeschoolers from Germany had to flee Germany because in many countries it's a criminal offense to teach your children at home. And it has been since Hitler was in power. Hitler didn't really lose the war. He just got, well, actually, there's some evidence that he didn't even die. But I don't know whether or not he died in Indonesia or Argentina or wherever he died. But the point is the philosophies, the social democracy that he promoted, that cannot tolerate an alternative society growing up in society, is still viable and working in Germany. And many other countries as well. And, FDR was a social democrat also. And that idea of social democracy means that you have to join the club. And someone was just on our YouTube making certain comments about the difference between a republic and the states and the corporate government and all this stuff. And there's a lot of little pieces to this puzzle. And most of the time, there's no place to even begin to discuss them because of the education that you have received. Most people don't know that there's a difference, a major difference between a democracy and a republic. They don't know what a real republic is. They think a republic is an indirect democracy where you elect representatives and they rule over you. No, that's not what a republic was. Most people think that the United States or America was originally a democracy and that they were fighting in the American Revolution for democracy, when most of the people that were a part of the American Revolution opposed democracy. They were against it. Democracy, even into the early 1900s, it was published in books. It was published in the manual for the military. All soldiers had to read it, that democracy was bad, an evil form of government. But now, if you ask almost anybody on the street, they say democracy is great. And actually, if you go back to that same military manual, it says that democracy is great. Somebody changed that when you were not looking. Well, they also changed your school books. Now, I discovered this, and I talked about it in the last show, about the fact that history was changing before my eyes. And I discovered it by simply reading history books, gathering history books from the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and reading them, trying to find the best ones for my kids to study. We would pick them up in thrift stores for, 50 cents or a quarter. And I would look at them and I saw there was something different about the history that you would learn in 1920 and that you would learn in 1950, and certainly in 1980, and certainly even more so by 1990, it's like you're not even reading about the same country. A lot of the same names, you still hear about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, but you only hear part of what they believed. You didn't hear that they were against democracy, that they thought it was a vile form of government. John Adams, everybody. And we quote a lot of this in the book Higher Liberty, and you can download that for free online. And articles that we have on the website at hisholychurch.org. And we're putting up articles at preparing you, and we have other people putting them up at the higherliberty.org. And so you can go in a lot of different places and read these things and get re-educated, because you've already been re-educated by somebody who's been altering your school books for almost 100 years. Well, actually 400 years. I know that the effort began in earnest at least as early as 1908. And lots of money. We're talking millions and millions of dollars were put into the effort of altering the way in which you view history. Because if you don't understand history, you're going to be doomed to repeating the same mistakes that you made before. And you can't afford that. And that's why your nation is broke. Whatever nation you're in, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, all these countries are broke. They're all in debt. And every child born in them is born in debt. And we have a debt-driven society, and debt is bondage. And you shouldn't be in debt. If you were a real Christian following the ways of Christ, you wouldn't have to be. But that's another place. And all this lack of knowledge and understanding of what's really going on in the world is not simply a product of some backroom conspiracy. Although there are backroom conspiracies. There are, secret organizations and clandestine meetings, and these things go on. This is history. And I've told the story many times of how my great uncle was supposedly beheaded in the Tower of London for divulging information to the enemy. And it was all a conspiracy between him and the Queen. That he pretended that he was betraying the Queen, and she pretended to have his head cut off for betraying the Queen so that the enemy would believe the lie that he had told them, so they would move troops in the wrong direction, and then the England could do what it really wanted to do. That's a conspiracy, but that's what history is, just one conspiracy after another. Some get uncovered and some don't. People calculate and figure, especially when there are billions and billions of dollars involved. So you can count on it, there is conspiracies. But this is really a conspiracy of the spirit. This is a spiritual attitude that draws people to accept certain ideas because they're convenient and reject other ideas because they're inconvenient. And I can tell you, it is not convenient to teach your children at home. There's a lot of work in that. It's convenient just to kick your kids out of the house and put them on that bus and not see them again. But to me, it's morally irreprehensible. I can't do it. It would just destroy me as an individual. Other people take great delight in it. I've actually heard them in this local store saying, oh, I can't wait till school starts and these kids are out of the house. Because being a parent is inconvenient. And you really need to start homeschooling your kids. Now, today, you know, when we did it, it wasn't all that popular. We had a few people around us who were going to do it, which was an exceptional, you know, blessing. Not that they were all that helpful. Most of the time it was I who was organizing everything to make it happen. You know, like we incorporated a private school in order to homeschool our children. There are other ways to do that, but we didn't know how to do things. We were learning and we would try different things. We didn't understand the law. We didn't understand how these rights work. But more important, we were beginning to learn how this spiritual element works, because there's a spirit that wants to put a woman in jail who has done the community a great service by educating her children at her own expense, as well as other children, for years and years and years, and they want to put her in jail because she didn't ask permission to do what has been written in international law is a fundamental right. There has to be a spiritual driven force to make judges such kinds of gods ruling over the people, that they would punish that which is good and reward that which is evil. You see, that judge calls good evil and evil good. And that's what's happening. That's a spirit living in the hearts of people. And unfortunately, it lives in a lot of hearts today. And then there's another spirit of apathy that allows that to take place while everybody else sits on their hands and say, oh, that's a shame. They really shouldn't put her in jail, you know, but I got to go right now. I don't have time to read anything more about this. I don't want to do anything about it. I just want to, you know, I think that's an outrage. But then they just go on and do their own thing. That's apathy. And that's why you are headed for destruction as a society. And apathy don't cut it. Commitment. Sincere, dedicated, absolute, personal commitment is what is necessary. When the Levites came out of the walled-in camp with the golden calf, they were making a huge commitment. They were in an area surrounded by Amalekites and Amaleks, and the reason they created that walled in camp is because everybody was afraid they wouldn't be able to, you know, they had to bind the people together somehow to withstand the dangers that were all about them. But Moses said, no, that way is wrong. That way is not what God had in mind. The fact is, every nation in the world has gone that way, which is why you need a passport to go from country to country, why you need ID to prove who you are, why you have to become a member of a system of social welfare, which is Corbyn, in every country, or you will be ostracized, you will be rejected, you will not have access to the economy unless you have their ID, their number, their membership proof. So it goes a lot farther than home education, but home education is a great place to start. So anyway, I wrote this article and I went through kind of over some of the stuff that I talked about in the first show on this subject. But now in the second part of this, I talk about right reason, and I quote Plato to start off with. Strange times are these. in which we live, when old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the one man who dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and a fool. Now, that's Plato. Now, if you don't know who Plato is, he lived a long, long, long time ago. But the problems he was facing, even back then, are the same problems we have today. Because that spirit of teaching falsehoods, especially in school, is still here. You know, Hitler said something about, you know, taking the minds of the youth. And of course, that's actually coming by teaching them when they're young. And the same philosophies you can see in Lycurgus's comments and other places in ancient history. To get the youth outside of the family, to teach them values according to your own design, will give you power over the thinking of those children. Which is, of course, why the Bible tells you fathers teach your sons. Now, when public school education began in the United States, most of the public schools were heavily privately funded. Even the local one-room schoolhouse down here in our own community, which I just put a new roof on this, you know, about a year ago, and they just use it as a historical landmark. They had a teacher, and the teacher actually lived with different parents. You know, she would live at different homes, right in the homes. And so she knew them, and they knew her, and they hired her, and they looked at the curriculum, and they decided what the curriculum was going to be, and they bought the books that they picked. Now, this is all federally controlled by people who live thousands of miles away from you, who think you don't know what to teach your children. And you have accepted the idea that you don't know how to teach your children, and that's the first message you send to your children is, I'm too stupid to teach you. I'm too stupid to oversee your education. I have to have professionals who have gone to years and years of schooling to teach you, because I don't know what I'm doing, and they do. And the problem is they don't know what they're doing. You know, because of, you know, that Mark Twain quote about the fact that it's not so much what you know, it's or don't know that hurts you, it's what you absolutely know for sure that just ain't so. And this has been a problem even if we go back to Augustus Caesar at the beginning of the Roman Empire. Because Rome was around for about 500 years, and then the Roman Empire began. Because there was no emperor until Augustus. And Augustus was the emperor, was the commander-in-chief. And I believe it's in, yeah, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, which was an extremely popular book during the American Revolution. And it's not just a book, it's actually a five-volume set of books in history of the what went wrong in Rome that such a prosperous and successful society, an invincible society, corrupted into a decaying mass of degeneration. What happened? Why did that happen? Well, because of the same spirit that's moving in the world today. Rome went from a republic to a socialist state with a centralized emperor ruling over the people and making laws, appointing judges throughout the empire. That's exactly what we have today. Emperor means commander-in-chief. He had another office, apotheos, appointer of gods, which meant he just appointed the judges throughout the empire, the federal judges, the imperial judges. And then he was also the chief executive officer of Rome, first citizen. History is repeating itself. And I'll tell you what Augustus said when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom. And we take a look at some of the history and why you don't know some of the history that you need to know to be free. Souls under God. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to be in the world but not of it, and what it means perhaps for the first time to truly love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. The kingdom of God is at hand. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and I was going to tell you a little bit about Augustus Caesar. We're going to just touch on this briefly. Augustus was sensible that mankind is governed by names, nor was he deceived in his expectation that the Senate and people would submit to slavery, provided they were respectfully assured that they still enjoyed their ancient freedoms. Well, that seems almost insane that you will enslave an entire nation as long as you continually ensure them with your showman politicians that they are actually free, because people want to believe that they're free. They don't want to believe that they're in bondage, that they've sold themselves a slave, that they have sold their children into bondage, that they are in violation of the basic tenets of Christianity. They still want to believe that they're Christians. And in actual fact, they are not only not Christians, they are against Christ. And the Jews are against Moses, just like the Jews, many of the Jews. I'm not going to say all Jews. I'm talking about generality. I'm not going to try to get into race or anti-Semitic or anything like this. Let's just talk. The Pharisees were Jews. The Essenes were Jews. The Christians, early Christians, were mostly Jews. But the Pharisees, because of what they thought, they believed they were following Moses. They read the Torah. You know, it's like a lot of Messianic Jews today. They read the Torah. And they think, well, we're going to do what the Torah says, because that's what God wants, because it makes it really clear in here. Well, it made it really clear to the Pharisees, but they got it wrong. Because they didn't understand what? The meaning of words and terms. They believed that this meant this, and this meant the names and the definitions of these words meant certain things. And they created a whole religion around what they thought the Torah was saying. The Essenes read the same exact Torah, but they would not do what the Pharisees did. And actually, if you read a lot about the Essenes, and we found out a lot more by uncovering more documents like the Dead Sea Scrolls and other scrolls that have been coming along, that they were very much along the lines of what Christ was saying. Now, did all Essenes become Christians? I don't know, but I think a large portion of them may have. Some Pharisees probably became Christians. Some Sadducees probably became Christians. But all these people were looking at the same Torah. The Sadducees didn't look at the Torah so much, but anyway, you know, they considered themselves Jews. But they're reading basically the same book and guidelines, and they come up with different conclusions because of the education that they had received. You see, if you, just like you go back to Plato, somebody was teaching them lies. And there was some spirit in them that was willing to accept the lie. And that's why we have public education today, is because we have accepted a lie. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So that should give you kind of an idea of what's going on. Sheldon Richmond was an author that was writing back when we first began to homeschool, and we read a few of his books, and they were kind of interesting. I didn't read a lot of them, but I read some of the stuff that he, parts of different books, and of course we had already decided to homeschool, and we were discovering that homeschooling was working better than what we were seeing going on in public schools, and also we would see a change in the behavior of kids who went to public school. And we were not appreciative of that change in behavior. But what happens is a child going to public school, he ends up learning to be three different people. He's one person with his friends, which are all the same age, which is an unnatural thing. You should have multiple age friends. Otherwise, you become socially retarded. Despite what people say, homeschoolers are supposed to be socially retarded. And kids who go to public schools are not. Nope. Kids that go to public school in one age education, not the home school, not the one room schoolhouse we used to have, they are socially retarded. They don't have an ability to properly relate to the multiple ages of society. They have their little clique that they operate in, their friends, and they become addicted to that. And they have a certain personality for their friends, another personality they have for their parents, and then another personality they have for their teachers in school. And then when they graduate, they don't know who they are. You know, it's kind of like truth or consequences. With a real child, please stand up, because you got three different children there in one. And this is actually goes on a regular basis, and it has an effect. It may not be overwhelming, but then there's all the other things that are going on. Sheldon says, throughout history, rulers and court intellectuals have aspired to use the educational system to shape their nation. The model was set out by Plato, who we've already quoted in what he calls the Republic, and was constructed most faithfully in Soviet Russia, fascist Italy, and Nazi Germany, and all other social democracies and communist governments. One can see how irresistible a vehicle the school would be to any social engineer. This is why they've outlawed homeschooling in many countries in Europe. They represent a unique opportunity to mold future citizens early in life, to instill in them the proper reverence for the ruling culture, and to prepare them to be obedient taxpayers and soldiers. And he's right. That's what it is. Now, you know, actually, I'll let you guess who said this. The education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. Who said that? Karl Marx. That's the Communist Manifesto. All 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are law in most countries today. They still call themselves democracies and republics, etc., but in reality, they're all communist governments. They may have two parties, but both parties has the same plan. One is just on the fast track, and the other one's a little bit slower to getting around to it. But that's where we're going. And where is that going to lead us? Well, where did it lead the communist governments of the past? Some of the greatest holocausts in the last two centuries has come out of that thinking of communism, socialism. So if we read what Joel Spring had to say, by the early 20th century, the school, in fact, had expanded its function into areas not dreamed of in the early part of the previous century. The school, the idea, like I said, when public schools first started becoming the predominant source of education, because it wasn't that way before the 1900s. Most people knew public education was welfare. They knew that public education was putting your child on the dole from the first moment he entered that school. That public education is a socialist institution. It is based on the idea of you forcing your neighbor to contribute to your child's education at the point of a gun. If you don't pay in to his school, to the public school, they will take your home away from you at the point of a gun. That's the philosophy that has created the public school institution. You say, but that's the way we've all done it. We all did it this way, so that makes it right? No. Morality is not subject to a democratic vote. Morality is determined by an institution that existed before you existed as a creature upon this earth. Morality, there is a standard of morality, and it is up to men to find it, not invent it. Anyway, he goes on to say, the school became a central social agency in urban America. The one theme that ran through all these new school programs was the desire to maintain discipline and order in urban life. Within this framework, the school became a major agency of social control. That's a word that you should be very familiar with, that phrase, social control. Because that's what they want. They wanted social control. Who said this? Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Vladimir Lenin. You see the power you have delegated to other people. Now, how would they get in and molest your child's education? How would you even know it? How many of your kids' school history books have you read? And when you read them, did you go back and read the ones in 1920 and 1940 and 1950 and 1960 and 1980 and see the progressive changes in those history books? Did you do that? I did. I did it as just because everything I do with all my heart and mind and body. So therefore, when I went to educate my kids, I actually feel I sloughed off, but I read those books and was noticing something about them. Well, somebody else noted something about them too, and they actually progressed with a government investigation and discovered what was going on. And we'll get to that eventually. So here's a John Taylor Gatto is a guy, you can see him on YouTube and you can read his books. But he says a small number of very passionate American ideological leaders visited Prussia in the first half of the 19th century, fell in love with the order, obedience, and efficiency of its educational system, and campaigned relentlessly thereafter to bring the Prussian vision to these shores. Now, John Gatto is a world-famous teacher, award-winning teacher, time and time again in New York and nationally. And he says that public education is fundamentally flawed and will not work. Well, actually, it will work, but it will work to do contrary to what you think it is doing. It will mold your children to think differently than you did and differently than your parents. And it will even teach your children to disrespect your parents and undermine the authority of the family until the family almost diminishes as an institution of society. Which is exactly what's happening. Why do you think there's so many divorces today? Why do you think there is so much abuse in homes today? Now, there was always some abuse. But why is the trend so complete? Why is there so much betrayal in marriage? Why aren't kids taking care of their parents, working, striving diligently to build a home so that their parents don't have to work anymore and can retire and can relax after, you know, 40 years or 50 years of working to build their family? They get to rest. You know, most of them will still want to work, but they are not under the gun as they were when they were 20 and 30 and 40. That their kids began to take up the slack. They don't do that. They turn you over to the state, which was to a system of social welfare, which Jesus called Corban and said makes the word of God to none effect. And you don't even know that. Because you went to public schools and because your teachers went to public schools and your pastors went to public schools. And private schools are pretty much the same because they have to use the curriculums and school books. And you're going to find out where these school books came from before we're done with this series. But the American public school advocates imported three major ideas. The purpose of state schooling was not intellectual training, but the conditioning of children to obedience, subordination, and collective life. Second, whole ideas were broken into fragmented subjects. And school days were divided into fixed periods so that self-motivation to learn would be muted by ceaseless interruptions. Third, the state was posited as the true parent of the child. Jesus said, "Call no man on earth father, but my Father in heaven." But the state is becoming the parent of your child. Not becoming, it has become. It has been your parent. And the other parents you had were incidental to that. Now, homeschooling sounds like we're trying to separate from society. No. You still become a part of society, and that's what the true Christian model is all about. But you do it in a voluntary sense, not coveting your neighbor's goods to get free education, which is what, you know, when they say, at the expense of the state, Karl Marx says, at the expense of the state. Was the state got a nighttime job where it goes out and earns money? And so that it can afford to give you free education? No, that's your neighbor who has to go out and get that nighttime job so that he has enough money to pay the taxes you impose on him so that you can have that free education. Free education is not free. That's why your nations are in debt. That's why you're in debt. That's why your children are born in debt. And we do the same thing with student loans, where kids graduate from college and owe $150,000. That's insane. But that's what you've done. Because there's a spirit flowing through your society that you have clung to that is not the spirit of Christ. You go to your churches and you use his name in vain because you do not operate according to his character. Who said the state will take youth and will give to youth its own education and its own upbringing? Your children already belong to us. What are you? He asks. Who was that? Adolf Hitler. Welcome to the New World Order. You're already in it. People are worried about the New World Order coming. You've been a part of bringing it in. And you've done it mostly by neglecting your responsibilities. Now, yeah, it's my job to beat you up. But I'm doing it to wake you up. I don't want to leave you bruised in the ditch. We give you an alternative. Join the Living Network. Form congregations of record. Those congregations should work diligently to help everybody homeschool their children. We have engineers and scientists and highly educated people that can help you educate your children. Help you educate your children, not educate your children for you. We should have apprentice programs so that anybody who's becoming a teenager will be able to go and work at different homes and learn different ways. Hopefully without falling in love with their daughters immediately upon arriving. We tend to becoming men and women first. Social control, we mentioned that, was the stated objective of the General Educational Board, the GEB, an institution created by John D. Rockefeller. Oh, there's a conspiracy term for you, John D. Rockefeller. In 1902, they developed and promoted various radical schemes, and I have to say radical, to configure American society through public school education. So, yeah, it's a plot. It's not a secret plot. It's just a secret to you because you didn't read their documents. But they're there. They're available. But you're too busy earning money to pay for all the other social schemes that your neighbors wanted. You see, when you want to take from your neighbor to have your free education, they get the right to take from you to have their free health care. They have the right to take from you so that they can be on welfare. I've told the story of somebody in a nearby town who can't work because he gets a headache if he works for more than 2 or 3 hours. So he sits at home playing video games all day long. He gets one of your checks. Every month he gets a check. He gets his EBT card. His girlfriend, who's had a child by him, lives with him and she gets her own check. That's not a family. That's a blood-sucking vampire. That's a zombie family. They're not going to produce good members of society. And they're not going to go to jail for the crimes they are committing because what the crimes they are committing are legal. And even some of the crimes they commit that aren't legal, they get away with too. Meanwhile, we've got other people who should be on disability, out working, running cats, fighting fires, working all their lives till they're 75 years old and then destituted. Before they could get any help from the government, they had to be totally destituted. That's not Christianity. You have traded away your Christianity. Who said education is a weapon whose effect demands on who holds it in his hands and at whom It is aimed. Education is a weapon. Who said that? You all are educated. You know who said that, don't you? Joseph Stalin. So anyway, Fred Gates defined the GEB intent when he said, in our dreams, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work out our own good will upon grateful and responsive rural folks. So this is your GEB that started back in 1910, and that was their dream. You probably wouldn't know this one either. Parents give up their rights when they drop the children off at public school. That's a quote. Now, who said that? Was that the militia of Montana? Was that was that some radical guy on internet radio? No, that's Melinda Harmon, federal judge, 1996. You give up your rights. That's what that lady in Ireland is realizing. And if I apply for permission to do what is a natural right, it's no longer a natural right by the public record. It's now a privilege. And they're trying to find out, does she really believe that? And they threaten her with threat, duress, and coercion, putting her in jail, and she's going to go to jail. The heck with it. You should be supporting her. Every Christian should be down at that jail. Every Christian in Ireland. Whether they call themselves Catholic or Protestant, it doesn't matter. That doesn't make you a Christian. Because you got some name you label on it. What tells me you're Christian is by your works. By your fruits. What faith is being producing in your hearts and in your minds and in your hands. Are you going to go down to that jail? Should be 100,000 people at that jail saying, let our people go. You're going to need to come together with that kind of force. With that kind of dedication. This is what congregations of record are about. Defending your natural rights as parents. And you will be ostracized more and more and more. And you will have to do some overtime. If you're going to be free, you have squandered away your life. You have not been working diligently. Of course, some of you didn't know what to do. Well, in the next show, we'll talk more about what you could do and what they have already done to you. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.